Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. First Corinthians 13:5 says that love is not self-seeking. The HCSB says love is not selfish. In marriage, how do I balance my desires, which are selfish, with my wife's desires, also selfish in nature? Is my service to her indulging her selfishness? Am I selfish to want her to be less selfish for my gain? I am thinking of the way we serve each other. If I want more quality time and she is too tired, how do we balance one's needs or desires with the desires and needs of the other without one of us being selfish in our love?
Great question. Man, this is a really good question. And I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of people listening and thinking, man, why didn't I ask that question? This one came in during the Spurgeon Study Bible contest, and it was a front runner.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's really good. And yeah, buckle up, folks, because I think this is a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's start by saying it is not inherently selfish to want something. A desire becomes selfish when we insist on it.
Right. I may be reading the question wrong, but it seems like the question assumes that his desires and his wife's desires are inherently selfish. Could be wrong, but it sounds like maybe that's in there. I don't think that has to be the case. For example, he mentions wanting to spend quality time with his wife. That's actually a good thing. That's really good for their marriage. A desire becomes selfish when we insist on having what we want. It's helpful maybe to read another version. 1 Corinthians 13:5. I like the HCSB, which he quotes. Don't get me wrong. I love the HCSB. But another version can help us to understand what the HCSB means. The ESV reads that love does not insist on its own way. So it's not inherently selfish to want something, but to insist on something that you want, that's unloving, according to 1 Corinthians 13:5. So having established that, let's consider some other broad principles.
Yeah, we should say to ourselves, I should be more concerned about what the Lord commands me to do than what the Lord commands someone else to do.
Yes. We gather this from Matthew 7, 3 through 5, which is at the tail end of the judge not that you be not judged section, which has become the most popular passage in the Bible, I think. Mm. But Matthew 7, 3 through 5 reads, "Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Now, we have a tendency, I know I certainly do, to be more concerned about how other people are falling short than how we are. Mm-hmm. But here's a good principle to apply to all relationships, and so it's certainly helpful in marriage. Make your own issues a higher priority than correcting your spouse's issues. So if you suspect that you have a problem with selfishness, insisting on your own way, make it your life's work to kill that thing before you ever think about approaching your spouse about the same issue. Now, we need to be careful not to go too far in the other direction and think that we can't ever confront sin until we've attained sinless perfection ourselves. That certainly isn't the case, because we're commanded to confront sin. But we have to do it out of love for our spouse. We have to do it with a concern for their good, not out of some self-centered attempt to get them to do us good. Mm. And the temptation to push our spouses to get them to do what we want them to do is part of the damage that's been done by some of the modern-day writing on marriage and by some Christian authors. And these authors mean well, but they've put out some really unbiblical stuff. And I'm not afraid to name these books, because I don't think I'm being helpful unless I do. A couple of books that come to mind that are really unbiblical in the things that they say in this regard are books like His Needs, Her Needs. Another book is Sex Begins in the Kitchen. Now, both of these books are kind of old. And listen, to my shame, I've taught studies based on both of those books. All right? Mikayla's laughing.
Are those recorded?
No. Praise the Lord. They're not recorded. They're not available.
Man.
And I'm seriously thankful about that. I wish I could find all of those people who heard me teach that stuff and beg for their forgiveness. I've laid awake at night thinking, Lord, please forgive me and please cause all of those people to forget everything that they heard. If any of you are listening right now, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Books like those carry the idea that your spouse has certain needs and you have certain needs, and the way that you get your needs met is by meeting your spouse's needs.
How selfless.
Yeah, right. So the idea is that you give in order to get. It treats your spouse kind of like a vending machine. And that's just contrary to Scripture. The biblical idea is you just give. Whether or not you ever receive anything in return, you just give. When you give in order to get, you're treating your spouse like a vending machine, not the object of your affection and love. I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. When we have that wrong mentality that we give in order to get, then when our spouses sin by not meeting our needs, it's very difficult to confront them for their good. Rather, we're confronting them because they're not giving us what we want. Anyway, our main concern should be what God expects of us. That should be priority one. I've got my own issues. I need to work on that. When we do confront our spouses for their shortcomings, it should be for the good of them, not to try to get them to do what we want.
Yeah, God gives to both spouses unconditional commands to give.
Yeah. The best known place to find these is Ephesians 5. And we'll do the husband first. Ephesians 5:25 reads, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." There is no condition attached to that. It does not read, "Husbands, love your wives as long as they're submitting to you, respecting to you, meeting your needs, etc." No, the command is pretty straightforward. You just give yourself up for your spouse. And I find it helpful that nowhere in the gospel accounts do we ever find Jesus giving and giving and giving and then looking up and saying, "Hey, what about my needs?" No, he just gives. And he is the example for husbands. Now, Providence people have heard me say this before, so bear with me for a moment. I've heard people read this verse, Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." I've heard people read this and then follow it up by saying, "Of course, no one can meet that standard. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. You're going to fail. Just do your best." That's gotten to where it just really irritates me, because I think Paul wrote Ephesians 5:25 with a straight face. He really expects us to obey it, because Paul also wrote Ephesians 2:10, which reads, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Mm. God enables us to walk in the kind of obedience that Paul calls us to in the rest of the book of Ephesians. Husbands, by the power of the cross, can love their wives like Christ loved the church. Likewise, Ephesians 5:22 reads, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." Now, later, in verse 33, he adds that wives are to respect their husbands. Now, just like before, there's no condition on that command to the wife. He does not write, "Wives, submit to your husbands, provided they aren't total jerks." No, he just says, just submit. And the idea is, you just give regardless of what the other person does. Prefer one another. Philippians 2:3b reads, "Count others more significant than yourselves." And again, there in Philippians 2:3, there is no condition. It's not count others more significant than yourselves, if they really are. No, just do it. And if that should be true of all relationships in the church, shouldn't it be more so in marriage?
Yeah, I think when we read that chapter, we think that our command is to make our spouse obey their calling. So we tack at the beginning of that, wives, make sure your husbands love you as Christ loved the church. I mean, I think that's how we think and act. I know personally from my own experience, sure. That's what I've done. It's so much easier. I shouldn't say necessarily easier. It's simpler just to say, okay, this is what I'm called to do. I'm just going to do that no matter what, all the time.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point.
Some people they're always like lost and they feel discouraged because like, I just don't know what to do. Many times what to do is the easiest part.
You're right.
It's just not doing it.
You're right. So. Okay, so I'm going to grab the first thing that you said and add it. Okay, so some of us read those commands in Ephesians as if there's a condition on the front. Others of us read them as if there's a so that on the end. So sometimes husbands will say, we'll read this as if it says, love your wives as Christ loves the church, so that they'll submit to you. Or wives will read it, wives submit to your husbands so that they'll love you as Christ loves the church. There's not that in the text either. So excellent point. It's just do what the scriptures call you to do.
Right. So that commonly held meet in the middle ethic for marriage is a recipe for disaster.
Yes, it is. I know I did. Yeah, there's an episode a while back where I mentioned that great country song, Meet in the Middle, I didn't mention that.
I think this was in a sermon.
Was it in a sermon?
I think so.
I know I sang a country song.
Okay.
But it was a different country song. This is Meet in the Middle. I'm tempted to sing it right now. You start walking my way. I start walking your way.
Oh, man.
You start walking mine. We meet in the middle, neath that old Georgia pine. We make a lot of ground. We both give a little. Ain't no road too long. We meet in the middle. All right, that's it. That's all you get, man. All right, that's a great song. It's a terrible rendition, but that's a great song. And it's terrible counsel because it's horribly unbiblical. But you'll hear that kind of marriage advice given all the time. Just be willing to give 50-50. Meet in the middle and everything will be okay. It's complete baloney. I don't find that idea anywhere in the Bible. Based upon the example of Christ, Paul, the other apostles, and the explicit commands that we've just read in Ephesians 5, and we could also add some other places like 1 Peter 3, the recipe for bliss is 100-100. You give 100%, your spouse gives 100%. If you've got two people willing to give 100%, expecting nothing in return, you will have a marriage that is dynamite.
What if, though, you're the only one that is willing to give your spouse 100%?
That's a great question, and I know that that's what everybody is thinking right now. Well, what if I'm the only one that gives 100%? Well, then we go back to what's said earlier, right? There is no condition on those biblical commands to love and serve the spouse. When I married my wife, I promised to love her till one of us died, period, whether she ever gave anything in return or not. And that's only a deal breaker when we've bought into the his needs, her needs mentality. Mm-hmm. Listen, fulfillment in life is not what Hollywood and the culture says it is. That is, being loved well by another human being. It's great, but that's not where fulfillment comes from. True fulfillment comes from the original purpose for which I was created, which is to bear fruit for God's glory. And in marriage, I do that by pouring myself out for my spouse. And even if I have a spouse who gives nothing in return, I can have joy in my Redeemer and God as I bear fruit of unselfish love for his glory.
Amen.
The attempt to balance my desires with my spouse's is a misguided priority biblically, as far as I can tell. Pour yourself out. Get your joy and fulfillment that way. When you are doing that, you can then talk to your spouse about how he or she is not engaged in his or her biblical duty, but make sure that your motive is for their joy in the Lord and not your own pleasure.
So what about the specific situation mentioned in the question? What if you have a situation where a spouse doesn't want to spend time together or there's not enough quality time?
I guess it depends on what quality time means. If quality time is intentional relationship building, like dating each other, having meaningful conversation, I'd say that's actually really important. If quality time is me wanting my wife to watch me play video games, maybe not so important. So let's assume that we're talking about the former And quality time is intentional relationship building, dating, having meaningful conversation.
Yeah, to that we could say that we've said so many times, have a straightforward conversation about it.
Yes. We should get t-shirts made up about this. Just yes. Truth and circumstances, quote, have a straightforward conversation about it, unquote. Spending quality time together, that's not something that's, that is something that is really important to the health of a marriage, and it's not something that we should call a preference issue. It's not the same thing as saying, I want to watch Rambo, but she wants to watch Hope Floats. What do we do? Okay, and in that situation, it's very simple. If that were the case, you would just prefer your spouse. But no, two people who don't spend time together are eventually going to be in trouble. So that's not something where I would say, you know what, I'm going to prefer my spouse and let them not spend time with me. Because that's detrimental to the marriage. It's dishonoring to the Lord to not take care of the marriage, and it's unloving to the spouse to not take care of the marriage. So I'd have a straightforward conversation about that and say, I'm concerned that we're not spending enough time together. And the way that this question was asked, the spouse may be too tired to spend more time together. So I might ask, what do we need to do so that you're not so tired? What changes need to be made? Because this isn't healthy and this isn't a preference issue. If the spouse doesn't agree, it may be a good idea to talk to a pastor together. One of you may have a skewed perspective of the situation and could be helpful to get someone to look at it with you. Either way, not getting enough quality time together, that's not something that I would let go or consider a preference issue.
Yeah. I got to say, this episode's really helpful to me. I'm very encouraged by the fact that I think of times when I've tried to change others and how maddening that can be.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, because you can't.
No.
How easy is it just say, I'm called to this, and mm-hmm. in this too, I mean, what do we want? We want joy, happiness, mm-hmm. and in my call to just obey the Lord, I can be fully satisfied in that. And let's be honest too, if we're talking about believing spouses here, that kind of, and I don't mean this to do these things so that this happens, but that kind of behavior usually softens the heart of the other.
It can, yeah.
And you see some great change.
Yeah. Growth. And but then even if it doesn't, your move toward Christ-likeness equips you to be able to handle that.
Yeah, you're satisfied in just right. obeying the Lord.
Absolutely.
Well, until next time.
All right, Greg. See ya.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.